Hello, and thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast.
I was just talking about terminal stuff and SSH in another podcast just a little bit ago, and I guess what I was going to say is, how much about terminal do you know? Do you know any terminal tips? I was going to try one out today. Talking about it, it might be kind of tough. I'm sure that's what you're interested in, listening to your Alexa right now. Wait, I mean Echo, sorry. I was going to mention the commands. If you go to your Mac or you go to a Unix system, as it were, you open up Terminal, a couple of things that you can run. It's probably going to run Bash, I figure, like I'm some expert, but I think that's the born again shell. I think it's kind of one of the more modern sort of basic default shells it seems to run. If you're running Linux, I don't know, God help you. And you probably know a lot more about it than I do already, so you know, you're on your own. But a terminal tip for the moment, especially if you're on a Macintosh, I guess it doesn't work on a Windows machine because that runs DOS, right? It's not a Unix-based system. Shoot. But if you're on a Mac and you want to get into your terminal and you want to move around just a little bit to sort of see what it's like, I guess two commands that would definitely get you started would be the ls command in the born shell, so the bash shell. The ls command is like the list command. So when you type in ls and then return, what you're going to have happen is it's going to list the contents of the directory that you're currently in text, in command line. Oh, man, it's pretty exciting. You're going to be excited when you see it for the first time. If you want to see some other things, I guess what you try, this is a bonus one, this is a big one too, is cd, the current directory command. So if you want to, I guess, move directories from what directory you're at now, your root directory, let's say, and you want to move up to your pictures directory that you see when you type in ls, you're going to type in cd space pictures, and then you're going to hit return, and that's going to move you to the directory of pictures. Then when you type in ls, you're going to get a list of the contents of the directory in pictures. Wow, pretty amazing. You moved a directory in Unix, and you found out on this flash briefing.
You can see more of my work at billynewmanphoto.com. You can check out some of my photo books on Amazon. I think you can look up Billy Newman under the authors section there and see some of the photo books on film, on the desert, on surrealism, on camping. Some cool stuff over there.
I was learning this tactic called feather sticks. Did you guys heard of that? It's like a bushcrafting term. I hate that word. I'd way prefer like camping or hunting or something like that. But in the world of bushcrafting, which I'm sure you can YouTube, there's this, and it's actually a really brilliant idea. And a lot of that stuff is great of generating the skills that you'd need to run, to manage yourself in the outdoors. And I think kind of the thinking behind it is the more that you know about how to work with your environment, the less gear you need to carry with you, and really the more apt you are to make proper choices in a short period of time that will help you out. So that's really helpful. So, you know, just kind of like having fire building skills or knowing what to do and how to set up camp or how to run a tarp or how to get water, all that sort of stuff. Anyway, in this case, you take some of these sticks that I'm talking about, some of these drier ones, you take your knife, your sturdy bushcrafted knife that people so like to talk about. And I think you take around 24 inches of that stick and kind of break them down to 24 inches or so. And then what you're supposed to do is take that knife and sort of, what would it be? Like, kind of like peeling a potato or something. Or like, you know, if you got to like kind of peel a carrot, what you want to do is kind of start at the top and then you want to peel into it. You kind of cut in with the knife just a little bit and then you'll run a slice of that down all the way down to the end of the bar, but you don't slice off that flake of wood that you've been pulling up. You try and make it pretty thin too. It's called feather sticks for a reason, right? So you try and kind of make it like a thin strip of wood that's kind of pulled up from it, and the wood will just kind of naturally curl up on itself as you chop on it. It takes a lot of getting used to. You kind of have to you got to get the hang of trying to get those feather pieces down. Because you have to hold it onto the stick itself. So you cut down all the way to the last like 2 inches or so of the wood and then you leave it. And so what happens is that as you cut, you kind of rotate the wood and then you cut down, rotate the wood and cut down. And so what you get after doing that for a while is just a bunch of these real thin flakes of wood that are all gathered up at the top end of this stick. And then you have a nice dry piece of kindling that's sort of worked down next to it. And so what you do is a lot of bushcrafting and camping stuff is just doing a lot of preparation and a lot of work that sort of seems like, man, Should have brought a lighter, or, you know, should have brought some newspapers or something. That would have done more. But if you're into bushcraft, and yeah, that's one of those things you can do if you have nothing around. But yeah, you make these feather sticks, and they're good fire starting material. If you get the right wood that's dry enough, you can kind of run down and yeah, get these plumes of these kind of these little like plumes of wood flakes, and they'll burn up real quick when you get a fire going on them. But what I did for this one, the other fire tip, what was the one I heard? Cotton balls and Vaseline. I hear that's like the fire starter ticket, because it's pretty pretty neutral. You can use the Vaseline for a couple different things, and the cotton balls too. But that petroleum jelly that makes up the Vaseline will rock a fire, and the cotton too. So yeah, you take a cotton swab from the bathroom, the Vaseline, you put that in like a Ziploc bag, and then you pack that into one of the pockets of your backpack. And you can get a fire going with a lot of stuff, or you can get the base of a fire going with a lot of stuff. Like that would work great, even with like a flint rod. I can't remember what the other word is for it, but those flint rods that you strike and then you run a spray of sparks onto it and stuff. You can do that. I always bring a lighter or a couple lighters with me. I got one in my pocket right now, but those are really easy fire starter tools where you can light that. You got a good flame going for a sustained amount of time running off the petroleum jelly and the cotton, and then you can stack smaller twigs and sticks and stuff on it, and then run bigger branches on that really quickly, and that helps out a lot. In my case, I didn't have that. I had a couple napkins from lunch, and I had some fern that I spotted over here, and it had died out. And so there's these dried out fronds of fern leaves over, I don't know, about 50 feet over here under the side of the road. So I went over there with my knife and I cut down a couple handfuls of those. I came back over to the fire. I laid out a bed of the smaller sticks at the base, and then I stacked in a bunch of the dried fern as a bed there. And then I put some of the strips of paper towel that I had balled up in a section there, and then I stacked up kind of a little fort, like a little lean-to fort of some of the smaller sticks, and then I had some of the bigger sticks sort of ready to go, but lit up the paper towel in a couple, in like two spots is what I tried to hit. Lit the paper towel in two spots with the lighter, and then real quickly I just kind of held over the ferns, those dried ferns, and they lit up real fast too. So that was a great fire starter piece, and that cuts a big flame really quickly. And then I put that over it, and then that kind of got the lower ferns sort of burning and some of those sticks going. And then I threw on those the smaller twigs over it, and then that caught and threw the bigger sticks on there. So dropped a couple logs on there. I was kind of scavenging them from some of the other firings that I was passing along the way, even though I'd gone out. What was it, it was probably a month or so ago now, and I collected a good bit of firewood up in some of the areas outside of where I was working at. And I'd drive around, and if I see like some downed, dried out wood on the road, I'd throw it in the back of the truck, and then I brought it home and I cut it up, and then I stacked it up. And so some of it's kind of seasoning out now. We've got a little fire pit at home that we're kind of using it with, but I was going to bring some of that, some of the twigs and some of the kindling that I had, and then I forgot about it and didn't bring any firewood with me, which is fine too. Oh, you know, it's cool. Really, almost any time I've gone out camping in the past, I've never brought firewood with me. Even probably at times I should have, or, you know, in places that you're not supposed to scavenge firewood, or that it's been so used that there's just no firewood in any capacity left to scavenge. Gosh, where was that? It was in Wyoming. Yeah, it was in Wyoming. We were traveling. We were camped out at a spot. And campers just go through there. We were in September, so I'm sure, you know, it's just been constant use from, April until then, right? You know, it's just been constant use, and it's been like that for the last 100 years. Or how long? You know, we're not the first, but in that area out there, there had just been nothing available to burn. So all those flammable resources have been collected by other kindling hunters in the past, and it's kind of interesting to see how that goes. So we kind of had to be resourceful, and we had to kind of figure out how to gather enough stuff, but we did pretty well. You know, like you can kind of go to like pine needles and pine cones sometimes. Those work pretty well and are often pretty dry and will burn well enough. They're not going to be a sustaining fire. They're not going to really get up embers going to the degree that you could really cook on in an effective way, but you can cook on it. I mean, you can get some stuff going, and in some other ways you can get, you know, enough of a fire going that you can get a log going. So that's normally what I would have is, you know, you have like one or two good logs that that can kind of keep things kicking for the evening. But to get that going, you need to have some smaller stuff. And normally that you just try and find where you show up because, hey, you can't be, you know, there's going to be sticks around. So you try and gather that stuff up. But man, if it's a busy area, that stuff will have been scavenged. Shoot. But that's not my problem now. So I'm loaded up on some firewood and I got a good bit of coals going that I can get this stuff rocking with. You can check out more information at BillyNewmanPhoto.com. You can go to BillyNewmanPhoto.com/support if you want to help me out and participate in the value for value model that we're running this podcast with. If you receive some value out of some of the stuff that I was talking about, you're welcome to help me out and send some value my way through the portal at BillyNewmanPhoto.com/support. You can also find more information there about Patreon and the way that I use it. If you're interested or feel more comfortable using Patreon, that's Patreon.com/BillyNewmanPhoto. But the holidays was kind of an interesting time because I ended up sort of thinking a lot about what photographs are. You know, I'm getting a little bit older now, and I think there's sort of like a change in the vision that I have of the way that I kind of think about photographs or you know, what is their purpose? Why are we making them? And in a big way, like maybe propagated by the Instagram culture or the sharing content creation culture that sort of seems to be out right now, especially for those photographers or artists. I think they feel the pressure to be content producers now, and that maybe is a little bit of a different job than the photographer or the real artist, that kind of a person. And so I've been trying to sort of think about that a little bit and sort of take a look at the trends of Instagram, and are those my art? Is that what I need to pursue? And a lot of the time I sort of notice this, and even in my own images, this like super sharp, super crisp, everything has to be really perfect or really edited or really meaningful and dramatic in these images. And what I'm noticing a little bit, especially as I review my older images, is that the photographs that I'm really drawn to, they're the photographs that represent the truth more. They're the photographs that kind of have, I don't know what it is really, but they have a little bit more of an essence of reality, or maybe it's reality, but it's also a little bit of grit to it too. Like this really happened. It was magical. It was interesting. I really like that surrealism in the photographs that I take, and I have for a long time, but there's a little bit more. And I've always, I think in a lot of stuff I've done, kind of pushed for the unreal. And some of the stuff that I'm kind of noticing the last couple years as I looked at like the photographs and how they changed is sort of how that shifted from the unreal of landscapes or of the world, you know, kind of trying to select things about landscapes, you know, when they have unusual colors to them or unusual dynamics or phenomena like clouds or weather or water or something like that, that makes it sort of feel like a different look or a different image than like what we'd see midday at noon if we looked at the same thing. So I think that's definitely still part of photography. But one thing I was noticing through the holidays and through reviewing a bunch of my old photographs was how much the stock value of a photograph goes up over time. Over 1 year, it's a bit. Over a few years, it's a bit more. But over a decade, you really get to see the change that happens in time. You know, I get to see like relatives that were much younger in these photographs they took 15 years ago than they are now. And it seems like kind of an obvious point or it seems like something everyone should know. But really, there's a huge amount of value in the photographs because they capture something at the time that it was. And you get to hold on to that after their people or the moment or the event or the experience changes. I'm starting to notice as I'm getting older is that life does sort of change. It changes. And it's an obvious kind of point of fact that everybody's sort of known about for a long time. But in my naive sense, I've been so focused on photography or on image creation or on the product, making something that's kind of crisp and sharp and perfectly usable today. I don't know if I was thinking so clearly about how the nostalgia factor or how the value of something, you know, from a family or just sort of a small moment that's captured that's more real, how that escalates in value over time. And like coming at these photos 15 years later or even like 7 years later from some of the stuff that I had, it's really interesting to see like, wow, like I took a ton of photos of this type of topic, but I didn't take as many photographs
that sort of represented my artistic experience of my life, or that humanity. I really want to try and show more of that in the photographs, the humanity, the kind of the way you feel about a photograph. And I think that's so much about what a photographer is there to do, is sort of be able to kind of pick and select which moments to capture and which ways you're going to be able to share that stuff in the future. That's going to become more nostalgic, more meaningful, or just a way of kind of knowing, oh, this was part of my life. Wow, that's really cool. So I've been trying to think about some of those ideas around photography for the new year a little bit. But along with that, I've been going through the last like 15 years of photos in my big super catalog, that collection of Lightroom photos I made, that's kind of trying to pull in every phone photo, every phone video, every different camera I've had since 2002. I'm trying to get all those photos together, put them in there. I think it was like 120,000 images, something like that, which really isn't that many photos for someone that's been doing stuff for a long time. But I went through those and I tried to like punch those down to a lot of the select. So a lot of the images that I kind of want to keep from, and I was trying to pull out a lot of, good photos, but photos that were kind of irrelevant to me for this sort of future moving forward catalog of stuff. I want to get rid of like product photos or work photos that are hundreds and thousands of photos even, to kind of fill up space and memory in the catalog. I'll keep those definitely, but those will be backed up on another hard drive. But what's active to me, what's in my library currently, I want to be like the last, I think I've talked about this before, but like the last 2 years or so of photos in total, so I can get back to that library and edit any one of those raw files I have. But for stuff that's older than 2 years, like 2015 and before, I kind of want to pare those down a little bit so that I'm a little bit more specific and able to just get to those photos that were selects a little bit faster. And then especially for older stuff, like pre 2010 or so, I want to really have those pared down to like the 100 photos I actually, you know, I need to have around to get to for whatever kind of stuff I need to do. But it was really cool though, going through the old photos, and you just kind of do it in this pretty quick way, you know, like this is a 1-star, this is a 2-star kind of a thing. So you kind of punch through those pretty fast. And then I have another round to do, or I'm gonna try and punch it, you know, from 1-star to 2-star. Those are going to be what I keep for a while. And then from that, I'm going to try and render that down to select all the 3-star photos. That's kind of like I would pick this photo and sort of put it under review. And then my system, at least, is a little bit of the 4-star, 5-star zone. That's for this is going to be published, or this is going into the portfolio or as content sort of thing. So yeah, I'm going to try and push on that stuff a bit more and get some photographs sorted for the year. But it was really cool going through all of those old trips that we've done, all those different places that we've gone to. And of course, I've seen, well, one thing I've noticed is, good Lord, how bad at Photoshop I was. And I want to say that I'm going to put a little blame, because I remember this happened at the time, but I want to put a little blame on how god awful my laptop monitor was. Like a 2006, 2007, 2008 laptop monitor just had no color gamut against what we know now in like modern OL or LED retina display monitors like Apple puts out, or like any kind of modern LED more color accurate monitor that we have now. But I was looking at it and there's like the it's just so muddy. There's so few colors that it can really represent. So you have to push things a little further out of gamut, or at least I did at the time, kind of not understanding what I was compensating to. So I look back at some of these photos and go, oh, I would never make it this yellow and green in a modern world. So it was kind of interesting what, you know, whatever was going on or whatever I was thinking about at the time visually that sort of drew me to that place. But it's interesting to see like how that changes, how your aesthetics sort of change, and also a little bit of how your tools and calibration systems change, and sort of seeing like, wow, how off was that way back? So all stuff that you kind of learn and you get better at, and it's interesting, at least to the benefit, you get better over time. And like a decade later, I see changes in the kind of creative or the style that I would lay out just if I started working, you know, out without actually having to try and implement a style, you know, try and lay when, oh, I'm going to make a photograph that's black and white and of events and personal or something, instead of trying to go out with, you know, a set intention of that, which you should or could in any set of photos. But if I just go out and am shooting what I am drawn to, the photographs that I capture and get, and the way that I kind of perceive what they look like and how I want to show them to people, that's all kind of changed and evolved over time. And it seems like my choices in that are better than they once were. But it was interesting too, just kind of seeing like, man, how many years and years and years did it take me taking photographs before any of these photographs really got good or got to the point where they were more than snapshots or more than just kind of a data collection. And I sort of thought of myself as an archivist for a long time where like the job wasn't really to be a photographer, where it was editing to select like a moment and character and sort of like nuance between things that had like emotional pull to them. I didn't really understand that type of composition stuff. I just sort of understood the camera mechanically functioning as a light capturing tool. And so that was like, that was probably like the first 4 years of photography was, you know, sort of thinking about it like that, like I'm capturing data of reality and then that's going to be processed in to something else later. And it wasn't really for years until I understood like emotional vision or, you know, like having some way to kind of tie the way you feel to the way that you see something. And that was really interesting, kind of learning about how some of those things work. And yeah, it's still such a long road and I still have, you know, no real experience in that by anybody that's really trained. Just self-taught, little Billy out here in nowhere Willamette Valley. So, yeah, that's some of the stuff about making selects.
Thanks a lot for checking out this episode of the Billy Newman Photo Podcast. Hope you guys check out some stuff on BillyNewmanPhoto.com. A few new things up there, some stuff on the homepage, some good links to other outbound sources, some links to books, some links to some podcasts, links to some blog posts. All pretty cool. But yeah, check it out at BillyNewmanPhoto.com. Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of the podcast. Talk to you next time.